Hey.
Hello.
Welcome to I Have a Strange,
Podcast. I closed my eyes so we could do it together. Sorry.
This is the show where two sisters retell your strange and paranormal experiences. My name is Rebecca.
I'm Lindsay.
And today we're going to be talking about the Stanley Hotel and the Appalachian Trail. We've got some spooky stories for that. But first of all, do we have any announcements? Lindsay?
No.
You do not. I have an unfortunate announcement to make.
No. Is it scary?
No. You're going to love this.
Okay.
As per...
Get that wine over here.
What?
I said, get that wine over here.
I know.
You were like looping it through. All right.
Yeah, it was a rough situation. As per my last announcement, where I thought that I had something spooky going on in my house, turns out it was in fact the cat. I was actually talking to Lindsay like on the phone or something like that. Whenever I looked up and my cat was in the cabinet. So
yeah. There was an explanation.
There was an explanation, but it's just like the confirmation bias. Like, I want there to be something spooky in my house, a ghost, and so I'll just be like, no, it could not have been my cat.
Which is interesting, because usually people try to explain things away first. But you and I are immediately like, it's haunted. It's just haunted.
Yeah, my house is either haunted.
Either for myself, cat. I'm like, somebody stole it or it's haunted.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
man.
We retell scary stories. If you have one, please send it to ihaveastrangestorypodcast@gmail.com and we will share it on our show. And please like and subscribe to our show. Share it with your friends. That way we can get more of our spooky stories out there. And if you are up to it, please give us a review and give us a nice review. And then send us a snapshot of that to our email address and we will send you some stickers. Send your mailing address. That's it. Anyways, that's all I've got.
Yeah, I have nothing. I'm ready to get the show on the road.
Let's do it. So
okay.
I'm going to talk about the Appalachian Trail. And I have a couple of spooky stories just from that area. And so I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about what the Appalachian Trail is. And it is more than 2,200 miles of that traverses 14 states. And it's the Appalachian Trail that is like the best long distance hiking trail in the entire world. It's a difficult trail for people to start in. It's one of these type of expeditions where you're gone for like weeks at a time. You stop and like replenish your supplies and you pack everything in, pack everything out. This isn't like cabin camping. This is like big deal stuff. So
yeah,
it's difficult because it's not an easy trail. And then it's also a very haunted trail. So there's a lot of different entities that live in the Appalachian Mountains. The Appalachian Mountains, Lindsay, are 480 million years old. So,
oh my God.
Can you imagine? Like, okay, so you've seen the Rocky Mountains, right? You've seen how tall they are. They're snow-peaked. They're beautiful. Yeah. Appalachian Mountains are more hilly because they've been worn down through being alive for so long. So they are smaller. They're smaller mountains because they're fucking old. So a lot of stuff has gone down in these mountains. A lot of spooky things, a lot of not spooky things. I think a lot of spiritual things. And Lindsay, it's also in Pennsylvania. The range goes to is in Pennsylvania. I know, right?
So I had no idea. I thought all we had here was like cities and like trash in the streets and shit in the streets. I can't believe this.
I know. Yeah, there's also really fucking spooky stuff. Like these are old mountains. There's also like, this is kind of getting off topic, but it's not. There are people that do like folk magic is what it's called. And it is like I think that it's kind of like witchcraft and Christianity like mixed together.
Okay.
It's really interesting. And there's another podcast that talks about it called Cursed. But that's all I know about it, is that it seems like there's kind of different type of religions that are mixed into this type of craft. Really interesting. But these paranormal things that are, that can be found on the Appalachian Trail are things like the Appalachian Tunnels, which are these military-like tunnels that are in the mountains where people have seen human slash animal creatures, that they live in these tunnels, and they are thought to be like experimentations gone wrong.
Okay.
And then, and then there's something called a snarly yowl, which is a big black dog that has like rows and rows of sharp teeth. Not necessarily like really a bad dog. Like, they don't say that this dog attacks anybody. It just looks really fucking scary. But there's tales of it like blocking the easy part of the path so that you're forced to go on the hard path. It also causes like automobile accidents, I think, because it runs across the road and stuff like that. And then this is something that you have talked about before. The Bell Witch is from the Appalachian Mountains.
Oh, wow. I don't even remember talking about that.
I'm pretty sure that you did talk about her.
Really? Oh, my God. I know so much.
I know. But the Bell Witch is a ghost who haunted the Bell family, particularly the father named John Bell, who wanted nothing more in her ghostly life than for him to die.
I think I do remember that a little bit. Yeah.
How can you forget? I know, right? Like, yeah. Oh, now it's coming back to me.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's always the woman just wanting the, getting, seeking revenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there's Bigfoot, who we all know and love, that has been seen there. There's something called the Brown Mountain Lights. And these are ghostly little lights that you can see on the Brown Mountain. Some people suspect that they are ghosts and souls of like Native American people who died on the hill from like wars past. There's Mothman, which we all know and love from West Virginia.
Sorry.
Gesundheit. Oh, wait. You are so good looking. Okay.
Why did you say that?
That's a Seinfeld reference.
Oh, man, I don't remember it. I'm sorry.
It's okay. You did that to me one time, and I didn't know what you were talking about. Full circle. So Mothman is a giant moth person who is kind of suspected to be like the harbinger of danger. I'm not going to say of death, but I think that he kind of pops up whenever scary, weird shit is going to happen. And so there were multiple sightings of the Mothman in West Virginia whenever the Point Pleasant Bridge collapsed. But not only that, where there was UFO sightings, there was Indrid Cold, who was this person, I guess, or entity, or extraterrestrial, who was communicating with a reporter at the time about like forewarning of the bridge collapsing, but couldn't. I don't know. And then there's the Moon-Eyed People, which I don't want to see at all, that are these short, like light-skinned people who have blue eyes, which doesn't sound that scary, except they only come out at night.
Kind of sounds like me.
Yeah, you fit that description. Eyes. Blue eyes, short. and they only come out at night. They were thought to be like some of the first European settlers, and they live in the caves up there. And then there's the Wampus Cat, which is a half person, half cat, which is basically me. So if you see the Wampus Cat, it's just me. The Flatwood Monsters, which I think that I have talked about this before, is a possible extraterrestrial, like, robot-looking thing with a big head, shiny eyes, and, like, a metal body that levitates in the forest. This was seen, like, in the 50s and 60s. And then there's the Pierce Pond Ghost, which is a hot spot for seeing, like, shadowy ghost people. So there's a lot that's going on on the Appalachian Trail. There's a lot to see. And I'm going to get into a couple of personal experiences that people have had on these trails. So there's one incident where this person, this guy and his brother were staying at this rundown motel with their dog. And they were sleeping at night, and the guy woke up in the middle of the night, and he saw this entity at the foot of his brother's bed just looking at him. And then it came over to his bed, and he said that his dog was at the end of the bed. He was sleeping, and this entity just started looking at him and his dog, and he just shut his eyes and pretended like he was asleep and wanted it to go away, and then kept it, like, to himself. And then a couple of weeks went by, and he decided to talk to his brother about it. And his brother's like, oh, my God, I thought that was a dream. I experienced the same thing.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
So he saw it, too? Mm-hmm. He saw it in both places, too?
Yeah. So, like, his brother saw the same exact thing that he did, and they just decided not to talk about it until somebody else brought it up. Yeah. I love it whenever there is another person that can confirm a story. I think that
they corroborate.
They corroborate. Is that the term? The jury corroborated. No, that isn't.
The rural jury corroborated.
Yes, the rural jural corroborated. I like it. This other story is about a hiker who was on one of the trails.
Okay.
And they said that it was a gorgeous day. They were taking their time, and their destination was to, like, this outlook or this post. And they said that it took them about 2.5 hours to get up there, and everything was great. They were taking pictures of the flora and the fauna and the fungi, and it was beautiful. And they got to the outlook, to the outpost. They ate their little snacky, and they had a rest, and then they decided to go back down the hill. So they started to hear what sounded like an animal behind them, like something scurrying, and also the like a murmur of human voices. And they said they hadn't seen anybody on the trail, but it wasn't that weird. Like, it could just be somebody coming up the trail, and it sounded pretty far away. And so they didn't really think about anything about it until 10 minutes later, whenever the sound started getting closer. And so they just still thought this is a human on a trail, getting closer. And so they stopped at this one point to take some more pictures and just admire the beauty of the forest, whenever that sound came up right behind them. And it startled them so that they turned around to look, and what they saw was a red and white checkered dress that was suspended in the air. There was there was no like, obviously, body. There was no legs. There was no person. It was just this dress that they were looking at, and they could hear, like, the scurrying of the animals. They heard the murmuring, and they said that the dress was kind of see-through, so, like, they could see the trees on the other side of the dress. And they gasped, and the sounds went away, and the dress just kind of evaporated and faded away. Like, they saw a dress ghost.
And they both saw it.
This was just one person.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. Okay. Yeah.
Stupid.
That's so funny. Yeah. So, yeah. So then this other story, there were two hikers, okay? A hiker and a hiker buddy. And they went up one of these trails and they said the same thing. It was a beautiful day. There was not a cloud in the sky. There wasn't really a whole lot of hikers on the trail. And they got up to this one overlook. And they said that, like, the trail's not that easy. And what they saw was this woman in a white dress, like, looking over the cliff. And, like I said, it's not an easy trail. There was nobody
a bad sign.
There that they saw with her. Like, you would think there would be, like, a photographer, like, you're coming to have, like, wedding pictures done or something like that. But there was nothing. And so they just thought, like, this is kind of weird. Is she okay? And they were just like, excuse me, are you okay? Do you need any help? And they said that this woman didn't turn her torso. It was just her head that turned and faced them. Yeah. She screamed a blood-curdling, like, scream. Like, they got freaked out. They started booking it down the mountain. And whenever that happened, the wind started blowing, a storm came in, and, like, it was pelting them with rain. And so they were running down the mountain. They were passing, like, other hikers, and they were like, don't go up there. And, like, they were just all getting down to the bottom. So there's a white lady also in the Appalachian Mountains.
That's what I was going to ask, because that sounds a lot like La Llorona, but...
It does sound like La Llorona. You're right.
Yeah, because she screams and everything, too, to get people to come so she can drown you.
Yeah, this lady's probably going to push you off a cliff.
I mean, if you're going to go in the woods, I think that you need to know a little something about, like, folklore and cryptids and everything. Like, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, if I was ever in a woods, in a woods, specifically a woods.
Just one.
And I saw a woman in a white dress, I would be like, nope. And I would turn and go the other way. There's no way.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be like, is there a wedding? I'd be like, no, I'm not. Any woman in a dress, I'm going to leave. Because it's always bad news when you run into a woman with a dress on in the woods or in the road. If she's in a dress, get the fuck out, dude.
Mm, yeah, don't help any women in dresses on the road.
In dresses, they're there to kill you, most likely, or to take a ride in your car and tell you where they want to go and then just disappear.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what happens.
Could
it's
you
just
imagine,
not good.
Like, if that was an Uber driver and, like, you just looked back and you're like, fuck.
She's gone.
She's just gone.
I wonder if any Uber drivers have stories like that.
Ooh, if you're an Uber driver and you have driven the white lady somewhere, let us know. Yeah. We'd love to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, hikers need to learn this shit. It's too dangerous.
I have an idea.
Okay.
Let's make a paranormal hiker's handbook.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's an excellent idea.
Yeah, I think that it's something that the world needs, that they can benefit
from. I agree. Wait, stop talking about it. We're not going to put this on the podcast. Okay, someone's going to steal our idea.
TM. This is trademarked. Copyrighted. Yeah. You can't have it. God damn it. My cat is fucking with the plants. Corbin Dallas. No. He's mad. Okay.
Did that work?
No. He vomited a shit ton of, like, my plant this morning.
Yeah.
It's great. So.
If there's anything that really hurts my feelings, it's when my cat eats my plant.
Yeah.
Because she'll look at me.
Mad.
Yeah. She'll look at me and then be like, ah. Yeah. Like, and I'll be like, no. And, like, running towards her. And she does it on purpose.
Yeah.
She does it to hurt my feelings then to hurt my poor little plant.
Corbin does it on purpose, too. Come here, bud.
What does he need? He's trying to tell you he needs something.
Yeah, he wants to play or he wants to eat, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, well, he's going to have to fucking wait.
He's going to have to wait. Yeah. Okay, so I've got one more.
Okay.
This kind of ties back to an entity that I talked about earlier. So,
okay.
Whenever this person was 15, they had a neighbor, and her name was Miss Ebby. And she was the nicest person. And they said that whenever they would come home from school, they would cut through their neighbor's yard, who was Miss Ebby, to get to their house. And they said that Miss Ebby had a huge property, a huge house. And whenever she would stop by and say hi to Miss Ebby, Miss Ebby would like give her a biscuit or a piece of cornbread, which is a very Southern thing to do. I love that.
Yeah.
And then she, you know, would be on her way, but they were friends. They were like, he just got in my plants. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm sorry. He's not just eating one. He's also like standing in another one. Corbin, get off. Get off.
Cats are such a blessing. They bring so much joy.
Just like a little gift from the universe.
Mm-hmm.
I paid for him. Yep. I bought him. I paid money for that cat.
Yeah. I get it, man.
Do you want me to start the story over? Would that be easier?
No.
You're just going to leave this in? Cutting that out. Okay. So, yep. Miss Ebby. So, one day she was walking home from school, and she noticed that Miss Ebby's house, like, all the doors and windows were flung open. And she's like, this is just weird. And so, mm-hmm. she went to the door, and she, like, looked inside, and all of Miss Ebby's stuff was all over the place. And it was shredded. It was disorganized. It was like somebody came in and ransacked her house or, like, robbed her. And so she got really scared, and she called out to Miss Ebby, and she heard her upstairs, like, crying and upset. And so
aww.
She went upstairs to go look for her. And she says that this woman lives in a mansion, so she kind of had a hard time finding her. She had never been upstairs, but she found her in a room. And she said that Miss Ebby was so upset. She was so distraught. She was crying. She was screaming. She was frantic. And she was like, what's going on? And Miss Ebby was like, I can't find the book. The book is gone. And she says that she didn't have to say anything else, that she knew exactly what she was talking about. Apparently, Miss Ebby is either the descendant of the Bell Witch herself or the Bell family. And she had...
Oh.
She had this motherfucker spell book, and she had it like in behind glass, like it was something to be seen, like a museum yeah. piece. And it was a such an important thing for her to have, and a pride, like it, there was just this pride of having this thing. It wasn't like, oh, you're a scary witch or anything like that, because you have yeah. this. This was like an heirloom that was passed down. And people, and
somebody stole it.
Yeah, somebody did steal it. Somebody actually came into your house. Like, and I couldn't tell it.
Someone stole it.
Yeah, but she said that something called to her that day to look in the book. Like, she didn't look in it ever, and she uh-huh. just decided that she needed to open a page and look at it. And she said that she did that. She looked at it, and then she put it away. And whenever she came back, it was gone. It was just that one thing that was gone. And she said to her dying day, Miss Ebby was like, I was cursed because I opened that book.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Well, what else happened to Miss Ebby after the book disappeared? Anything?
I don't think that really she went into that, but like, I think that that was like her biggest regret in life, is that that book was stolen or taken or phantomed away.
It was stolen. Somebody stole it or phantomed it, and they stole it too.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So many different stories in one place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then there's also the folks that live in the mountains too. But then also the family that you were talking about who might live in the caves, I was curious that possibly the people who are the first European descendants to be here, I wonder if they have blue blood like that family that almost made me pass out when I read about them.
Yeah.
I was so upset that they had blue skin yeah. that I was like, I'm going to pass out.
Like, that's fucking disgusting. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, so they said that, okay, they said... What I got from the Moon-Eyed people was like they discovered America before Christopher Columbus. And I think that's so stupid, like to put that okay. in, because they didn't discover America. And also Christopher Columbus wasn't the first person to find it. You know, like there were other I think it was like the Vikings that probably were here first. So that would make sense if they were Vikings.
That's
they
silly.
Were just yeah. really small. And they couldn't go outside during the day because they needed to live nocturnally.
Because they lived in caves, they couldn't take it.
Yeah.
They're like cave crickets.
Yeah. So I just want to know, like, if we were to go on the Appalachian Trail, what would you want to see?
I wouldn't ever go on that trail.
I know. I just,
ever.
I know.
Maybe I would look at it from, if we could drive up and park, I would look in it.
Yeah.
And maybe I would walk like a few hundred feet.
Okay.
But I would want to see the car and just go right on back, turn around and go right on back.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah. I don't want to see anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go for a hike either. I'm going to be honest.
I know. I get it.
Sounds like, miserable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It sounds like a bad time to you. Yeah. I don't have any questions for you because like, I just knew. I was like, she's not going to want to go on this.
No, you had to pack snacks. I remember one time we went on a hike and you were like, let's pack snacks. And I was like, what the fuck? And like, we stopped to eat them. And I was like, I don't want to eat this snack on this trail. Like, I want to go home and have a pizza. Like,
yeah.
I just don't get it.
Yeah. There's a lot of like stuff that goes into hiking. You have to have a place to go to the bathroom. You have to carry your dog's shit out if they take a shit.
We had to put chains on our boots that one time because it was the snow.
Yeah, crampons.
And then I got blisters really bad on my feet.
Yeah.
God.
I know. So much
fun. Well, thanks for sharing the stories, though.
Yeah.
I have something. I have a story from somebody that you and I have something in common with. And I actually wanted to tell our stories and our experience to lead into this person's experience. So my story is about the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, Colorado, which, if you don't know, it's the hotel that Stephen King stayed in whenever he wrote The Shining. So it's that's the story.
Yeah.
So he stayed at, I think, room 217 is the room that he had stayed in. And so this hotel is known for being haunted and having, you know, weird paranormal stuff happen. And in 2017, I think it was either like, it was 2015, 2017. I'm not quite sure. I'd come to visit you in Colorado and you surprised me by taking me to this hotel and you booked a room there.
Yeah.
And at that time we weren't doing the podcast. We weren't really into paranormal stuff. Like, we didn't really talk about it, but somehow you were like, we're going to go there and it's going to be fun. Like, you wanted to go there with me. So I believe that we stayed on the second floor, second or third. And, my experience was we had a great time. We went to a bar, we walked around. I remember there were black chipmunks, which I thought were so No, it was black squirrels. And I was like, holy shit, there's black squirrels.
Yeah.
And then there were moose everywhere. And I was really scared of the moose. And then we went to the room to go to bed finally. And I remember we were in the same room. We had separate beds. And I remember laying in my bed and hearing what sounded like a screen door or like an old wooden screen door. If people from the South probably knows what that is. And it just sounded like it was just banging, like it was just being opened and closed and open and closed. And I woke up to the sound of it and then it just wouldn't stop. It was just this continuous banging. And I laid in bed frozen because I was like, what the fuck? And I was going through my mind thinking, what could that be on our floor? What could that have been? So we couldn't have exited outside because we would have had to go downstairs. We were on a second or third floor. So it's not like there was a wooden, you know, storm door that could have been doing that. Like, there weren't shutters. Like, I just couldn't figure it out. It wasn't windy outside. It wasn't storming, whatever. And I just laid there frozen. And eventually I just went back to sleep. And then do you want to share what your experience was the night that we stayed there?
I don't really remember it very well. I just remember getting up and going to the bathroom and like being afraid to look out the window. And I remember hearing things, but I also know that like it's an old hotel and I felt like what I was hearing were the guests like on the floor and stuff like that.
Okay.
But did I say something else that you remember?
So when we woke up the next morning, I was like, there was a banging, like a persistent banging all night. And you were like, I heard it too.
Oh.
And you told me that you also laid there frozen. And so you and I both heard it and we were both in our beds like, and not moving and just listening to it and not, you know, not knowing what it was. But you remember, you heard the same thing that I heard. So that was our experience. So then I have this third person's experience. It was a couple who went. And they actually stayed on the fourth floor, which from what I understand, the fourth floor is also supposed to be haunted. Like one of the most, you know, haunted floors. So when this person went, the story's like from 7 years ago. And they said that as soon as they got in the elevator, like shit happened immediately. What they heard in the elevator was like some faint whispering. And I don't remember there being an elevator because we took the stairs. And I remember the suitcase being really heavy. And I was like, this is awful because I didn't work out yet. It was like really hard to get up the stairs. But so it was just some faint whispering that they heard. And while they were in there, the couple turned to each other and they were like, do you hear that? And they both confirmed that, yes, they both heard the whispering. So they went to their room, left their stuff, and then they decided to walk to like a local bar. And I think it may have been the same bar that you and I had gone to when we visited. They had really good food is what I remember.
Oh, yes.
We got like a cheese board.
Yeah,
oh my God,
it
was delicious.
Yeah.
So they went there and then they got back to the hotel at like 2 a.m. And when they got there, they said the lobby had like really cool lighting. Mm-hmm. And so they decided to take a picture of the lobby and then head up to their room. So the next morning they woke up and took out the pictures to take a peek at what they saw. And they took several pictures, but one of the pictures captured what looked like a child standing in the lobby. And they did share the photo. And I looked at the photo. And there's definitely something in the picture. It definitely looks like it's blurry. So it's almost like if the child was moving, perhaps. Mm. But there is a being standing in one of the pictures.
Holy
for sure.
Holy crap. There is a child entity there.
Yes.
Whoa.
So they caught a child in the photo in the lobby.
Oh, my gosh.
So later on, he was laying in bed. Mm-hmm. And his girlfriend had gotten in the shower. Mm. And he put his phone next to him and just kind of dozed off on the bed. And he woke up to his phone being on his stomach and like bouncing on his stomach.
That's
like, that's
weird.
What woke him up. And his
like somebody
girlfriend
threw
got out of it.
The phone on his stomach?
It was like, it was just like bouncing.
Oh,
like
my God.
Almost like it was like being pushed. Yeah. Into his stomach.
Oh.
And his girlfriend had taken a shower and she got out of the shower and came out and was like, somebody ran their hands through my hair and down my back. Ooh. Once I got out of the shower. She was really creeped out.
Oh,
and
assault.
Here's the thing. They booked this hotel for 4 days, which I don't think I would do. I think one is enough for me.
Yeah.
One and done. You know, you get out of there.
Yeah.
So they also said that in that same room, they kept hearing people when they went to bed that night. They heard people walking over them all night, like just footsteps all night. Like, so it could have been the people in the, you know, the room above them, but like it never stopped. It was persistent walking.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's haunted. There's no explanation. It was haunted.
Yeah.
So then it's like their third night there. And they decide to walk around the hotel to like find creepy, you know, haunted paranormal things.
Yeah.
And as they're doing that, they ran into another couple. And this couple was doing the exact same thing. So they kind of joined forces and they were talking. And the girl who was with the other couple slipped that they had gotten room 217.
Uh-oh.
Where Stephen King had stayed. Yeah. And so they got excited because they liked Stephen King.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, can we take a peek at your room? And she was like, sure. And I was like, what a nice girl. I would have been like, no, you can't fucking go in my room. I wouldn't even stop to talk to the people, number one. Like, I probably just would have kept going.
Yeah.
Which would have been confusing because I'm from Texas. So I would have smiled.
Yeah.
And if they would have talked to me, I would have been like, oh.
Yeah, we would have just said, huh? I feel like we would be together and we would just say hi and we'd say it in unison and just keep on walking.
And keep walking.
We can say hi in unison. We cannot say I have a strange story podcast in unison.
When we say it, I hear us saying it together. And why it's not recorded of us together, it blows my mind because we're haunted, I guess. Or somebody stole it from us. Okay. So they decided to go to the room and they had an EVP session. So an electronic voice phenomena. I took a note for myself and now I can't even read what that means.
I love it.
But it's basically where you capture sounds electronically, mm-hmm. right? And so they had a recording device that they took in there and they were just asking questions and talking. And as they were doing it, you know, they would stop and play it back. And so they played it back and they had asked a question. And very clear audibly, they heard the person say no.
Ooh, wow.
And so when it was played back, the guy looked around at his girlfriend because he thought it was her. But when he saw her face, he realized that it was not her who said no.
Wow.
That they had really captured somebody saying no on the video. And so then they got out, they had an EMF session. So that converts energy into electric energy.
Okay.
So a lot of times we talk about like spirits and souls being energy. And so this mechanism will transfer that electronically so that you can see it. It almost reminds me of Ghostbusters. I think they have one.
Okay.
That little thing that has that comes out. Yeah. And it lights up and alerts them when there's something, right? So they had one of those.
They were asked, professionals.
Yeah.
Wow.
They were really into it.
Yeah.
So they are walking around and they asked the person who was there who said no if they were a child.
Mm.
And the EMF thing started alerting, going up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, "Are you a girl?" And then it get really, really started going off. And then they just started asking questions like, "Do you like to play games?" And it did. It got really excited. Aww. And so then they said, "Do you like to play the game tag?" And it said that it did. And so the guy, the boyfriend, decided to maybe kind of play tag with it. So he took off running down the hall, and then it was like all the equipment just went dead. And they didn't get anything back after that.
Yeah. Wow.
So I don't know if it chased him. I don't know what happened, but the equipment went dead as soon as he started running.
Wow. That's so cool.
Yeah. It was a wild experience. And so that's what 4 days at the Stanley Hotel got them. So you and I got a slamming of a door, which only I remember and you don't, but we did. And that was our Stanley Hotel experience. That and the black squirrels.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Yeah, there's another thing that so there's one thing that I just wanted to mention about the Stanley Hotel mm-hmm. is that one of our favorite movies has a scene from the Stanley, and that is Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, and we got to drink at the bar where Jim Carrey said, "We landed on the moon."
We landed on the moon.
Because they have that they have that newspaper framed.
Uh-huh. They had a lot of stuff. Remember downstairs, they have a lot of stuff from Dumb and Dumber.
Mm-hmm.
From the making of the movie, because I guess they did a lot of that hotel. Yeah. So that was also very special. And I think, maybe I shouldn't say it, does that movie hold up over time?
Ooh, I haven't watched it in a while. It's probably really bad. It's probably real sexist. Ooh. But I want to watch it again.
I know, I'm scared.
Because it is one of my favorite. I think it's childhood
It was groundbreaking for us as kids.
Groundbreaking. Yeah. Yeah.
It was.
To this day, I think that Jim Carrey is probably one of my big crushes. I even see him today. He looks great. Not that really looks matter, but I think that he's kind of evolved into a different person and he's really done a lot of work. And I'm I would still hit that. Totally.
You've always been a huge fan of him. I started to really like him whenever he did Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yeah.
And then I was I'm in on this Jim Carrey thing.
Yeah.
I love him.
Yeah. He's pretty amazing.
He's a super cool guy.
Yeah, he is. He's pretty interesting. The other thing I think that I wanted to say about that was I feel like there was something else. Anyways, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, since we're on the topic of hauntings and now we talked about movie stars,
mm-hmm.
one thing that's really haunted me, because I've seen a few things and I watched Priscilla and I was Elvis is bad. week, and I feel really bad because I did an episode on him, and I was like, him and Priscilla were made for each other. And then, like, I watched Priscilla, and I was like, oh no, he was awful. She was a child. And so sometimes I want to take that episode down, but what are you going to do?
You know,
I'm haunted by it.
We all have to eat our words sometimes, for sure. Ugh. Like, I think that I said something about some celebrity, and I'm like, I fucking love them. And then the next day, something terrible, like, comes out about them. It always happens. But what can you do? You don't know. Okay, this is what I was going to say, is that I saw this one episode of some type of ghost hunting series where they did this technique where they, like, covered the person's eyes, covered their ears so that they didn't have, like, any like...
like sensory deprivation?
Yeah, kind of like that. Exactly. And what they were doing was communicating with spirits. And so they would, like, that person would be all, like, covered up so that they couldn't hear or see anything. And then there would be people that would ask a question. And the person that was all covered up would be just saying whatever popped up in their mind. They couldn't hear the questions that they were asking. But a lot of time they started to, like, answer the questions.
Okay.
Would you do
that? Let's do that.
Oh,
yes.
What would you do?
Yes, I want to do
that. I would want to be the one covered up. We could switch off.
Yeah, we're going to take turns.
Okay, yeah, that'd be so cool.
And we're going to record it.
Yes.
Oh, my God, I can't wait. Oh, my God,
that'd
be
so much fun.
Yeah, I'll do that for sure, 100%.
All right, nice. Cool. I'm glad.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, that's the show, right?
Yeah.
We did the Appalachian Mountains, which, by the way, I think you can pronounce several different ways.
Yeah, some people say Appalachian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're from Texas. We're from the South. And so we're going to have a little bit of twang sometimes when we say things that we don't know exactly how to say. So we're going to say the Appalachian. What do you say?
Well, now that you've asked me, I don't know. Appalachian? Yeah, I'm going to say Appalachian.
Appalachian is what I say.
But some people say Appalachian.
We had posted a video one time about something about the Appalachian Mountains, and a girl commented, maybe they're so upset because you don't know how to pronounce their name. And I just, like,
everybody
blocked her immediately because I was like, we don't have time for that shit.
Everybody pronounces things differently.
You have to take into account, like, where everybody comes from. Like, get fucked, girl. Like, Jesus Christ.
we say pecan, and a lot of people say pecan. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if, I don't know if pecan, is that a Southern thing? We're from the South.
I think people in the South say pecan a lot, but we say pecan.
Yeah. What else? Caramel?
People, and we say water, and people where I live say, they say water. I can't even do it.
Yeah.
Water, I think is what they say.
Yeah.
Because I'll be like, I'll have water. And they're like, that's uppity. Because they're like, water.
Some people say crick instead of creek.
Oh, gosh. Schedule.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of schedule.
Yeah, that's like a British thing, I think.
Schedule. No, some uppity people say it, too.
Voss instead of vase.
Yeah.
Everybody says potato. I've never heard of anybody say potato.
Yeah, right.
Mm-mm. You know what we used to say? I have worked really hard on this because it just came out, actually. I worked really hard on this because I used to get called out by saying, I would say on instead of, like, on.
Yeah.
There was, like, this.
That was big for us.
Yeah.
I don't know why we said it that way.
Because our parents did. Like, you know, we heard my...
Is it because they were from Oklahoma, maybe?
I guess. One.
I think I say on. I
know
on.
Now that you have to think about it.
Yeah. I'll have to record myself next time. What do y'all say weird?
Yeah. Tell us. What do you say weird?
Yeah. Put it in the comments. This has been a great segment in addition to our paranormal podcast.
Yeah.
Look off your face. Oh, man. All right. Well, I guess that's it. All right. Until next time.
Bye.
Water.
I'm just going to do what you're doing.
Whoa, look at the balloons. Bye. Oh. See you next time. Thumbs up, buddy. I think that means fuck you.
Oh, no, I didn't mean to say that. I'm sorry.
I think that's like British, like fuck you.
What? Okay, so this is peace. Bye. Like, happy birthday, balloons.
Celebrate.
Celebrate. On.
Celebrate. Okay. All right, bye.
Bye.